of God came to Jonah the second time.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to talk this morning to God of the second chance. Say that with me, the God of the second chance. Even though that is theologically insufficient, because he's the God of the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 100 chances. Amen. We just brought that title because that's what's in the text. Amen. What do you do when you've blown it? That's a good thing. You pray about it. That's a good thing. All of us blow it every now and then. And you can't unwind what you done wound. Preachers blow it. Deacons blow it. Wives and husbands and children, we blow it. And truth be known, you're going to blow it some more. Because nobody is perfect. Remind me of the story of where a police officer stopped a teenage girl in the city of Idaho after complaints that a car had been seen going around her neighborhood backwards, running in reverse for some time. So the police officer stopped her and asked her, what was she doing driving in reverse? She said, well, my mom and my dad had let me use a car, but I think I put too much mileage on it, so I was trying to unwind some of it. We know we can't unwind some stuff. We can't take some stuff we said back, even though we say we take it back. We can't take it back. It's out there now. God is a God of the second chance. And certainly Jonah is a prophet of God that needed a second chance. Jonah is what we call the runaway prophet, running from God, running from his responsibility that God had given him. Runaways have always been a problem, teenage runaways. It's a major problem in our country. When you think about 1 in 7 kids between the ages of 10 and 18 will run away at some point. There's 1 to 3 million kids right now, as I'm speaking, living on the streets of America. And 68% of those living on the streets are between 17 and 18 years of age. There are many reasons why they run away. Broken families, physical, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, alcohol and drug abuse by some parent or guardian. As bad as that is to know that so many teenagers or young people run away from home, one of the most devastating things to see a runaway preacher. Jonah was a runaway prophet. Jonah started the first non-profit organization. The book of Jonah has been under attack from biblical scholars for many years because some don't believe Jonah is a historical figure. Some say it's fiction, much like the Three Little Pigs. Some say it's a parable, a legend like Alice in Wonderland. Still others say it's an untrue story or belief. It was made up. Like the teacher asked her class one day in literature, how many of you kids in here believe that Jonah got swallowed up by the fish? Kids were intimidated except for one little boy. He raised his hand. So you believe that Jonah was swallowed by a fish? He said, yes, ma'am. That's what the Bible say. She says, I can't believe you believe that. He said, well, ma'am, I do. I believe what the Bible said about Jonah being swallowed by the fish is true. She said, well, how do you know? He said, I'll tell you what I do. I ask him when I get to heaven. She said, well, what if Jonah's not in heaven? He said, well, then you ask him.
All right.
Keep your finger there and turn to 2 Kings, chapter 14. I'm going to take my time and teach y'all this morning this passage. 2 Kings. This is the background to the book of Jonah. Start at verse 23. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, the king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria and reigned 41 years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. He restored the borders of Israel from the entrance of Hamath as far as the sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, God of Israel, which he spoke through his servant, Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was from Gath-Hepher. Now, normally in just a fictional, non-historical piece of literature, you don't name the person if it's false. It's not true. And Jonah is named. This text in 2 Kings tell us that Jonah prophesied during the reign of Jeroboam II. This was a golden age in Israel's history. He expanded the kingdom far and wide. Life was very, very good for the nation of Israel. It was also a time when Assyria began to raise its head of military and political dominance in the Middle East. This book, though it's talking about Jonah, but this book is really about God. Because the word fish is only used 4 times in the book. The word city is only used 9 times in the book. Jonah's mentioned 18 times. God is mentioned 38 times. It's So this book here really is about the grace of God. As we look at this text, considering our subject, the God of the second chance, we need to go back and look at what happened that brought about his need for God to give him a second chance. And that's found in chapter 1. We need to look at, first of all, the prophet's disobedience. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. And it says, arise, that is, get up and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, Nineveh was located on the Tigris River. It was the capital of Assyria, who would conquer the northern kingdom in 722 BC. It was a very large city during the time of Jonah. It was an extremely wicked, evil city. The Assyrians hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the Assyrians. They were very brutal people, particularly to those whom they captured. They would take a man and stretch him out. Lay him on the ground and stretch him out and pull him tight and take a knife and cut his skin off. If you went into the gates of Nineveh and you look to your right, you'll see a pile of skulls in the shape of a pyramid where they had decapitated men. They would rip babies out of women's womb alive, throw them against a rock, split their skulls open. They would sometimes take a stake and put it right here up under the chest cavity of a conquered soldier, put him up on a pole, and let his life eke out. They did this so that when people conquer came into that nation, they know these are the rules, and this will happen to you when you don't break the rule. Right. So the Assyrians and the Jews were perpetual enemies. Dr. Ray Pritchard said, for a Jewish man to be told by God to go preach to Nineveh was repugnant. As far as Jonah was concerned, Nineveh could go straight to hell. This book here breaks down nice into two parts. The first two chapters, we see God's mercy to Nineveh. In chapter 3 and 4, we see God's mercy to the prophet. In the first two chapters, we see Jonah AWOL, absent without leave. In the last two chapters, we see AWOL, Jonah, angry without love. God tells Jonah, Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Their deeds have reached an excessive proportion and could no longer go unpunished. All right. Get up, Jonah, and go. What's interesting to me about that statement go to Nineveh and cry against him. Interesting thing about it is that God was not on Nineveh's mind. But Nineveh was on God's mind. Let me bring it a little closer to home. There were years in my life when God was not on my mind. Because I was out there shaking my rump to the funk. Come on, somebody. I was out there singing, Brother Steve, feet don't fail me now. I wasn't thinking about God at all. Every now and then I went to church. I was not a church-going fellow. Times I normally went to church was like some of y'all. Christmas, Mother Day, and Easter, and then occasionally a wedding and a funeral. But little did I know after I got saved, I was on God's mind. And the reason why I am saved this morning is because even though my mind had no concept, didn't think about God. When I ate, I didn't thank God for nothing. I just picked up my plate, my fork, and I began to eat, not saying grace at all. It was not until I got saved that I realized, read, God had me on his mind, even though I ain't have him on mine. Is there anybody here know what I'm talking about? You know how you was before you got saved? You didn't have God on your mind either. But blessed be God, you're saved now. You're saved because God had you on his mind. Don't you sit there and act like God ain't done nothing for you. God said, get up, Jonah. But notice, verse 3. Jonah got up, but he fled. God said, Jonah, arise and go. Notice what Jonah did. Jonah got up, but he said no. He fled. He fled to Tarshish. Look at the structure there. From the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, which is about 50 miles southwest, and found a ship that was going to Tarshish, going west 2,500 miles west. Paid the fare. Went down into the ship to go to them with them to Tarshish. Notice, from the presence of the Lord. Here Jonah is. God said, get up, go to Nineveh. Notice, Jonah halfway obeys. He gets up, but he goes in the opposite direction. From the presence of the Lord. Jonah running away from God. Like what Reverend Jaffa Williams said, life without God is like an unsharpened pencil. Ain't no point to it. But notice what we see going on with Jonah. Jonah knows he can't outrun God. All right. We see that down in verse 9. I serve the God of heaven and earth. Jonah knows he can't run. So why did he run? Jonah ran because Jonah was basically telling God, I resign my prophetic office. I ain't going. But how many of y'all know that when you disobey God, nothing really good really happens to you? All right. It says, notice now, Jonah rose up, verse 3, to go to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah went down to Joppa and found a ship which was going to Tarshish and paid the fare and went down into the boat to go to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And notice in verse 15, Jonah went down into the sea. In verse 17, Jonah went down into the fish. What is God trying to tell us, ladies and gentlemen? Let me tell you what God is trying to tell all of us today. Every step outside the will of God is going down. But notice something else Jonah did. He went down to Tarshish and he paid the fare. See, every step outside of God's will is going to cost you something. Jonah is God's prophet. Had Jonah obeyed God, God would have paid the fare. When you and I disobey God, we have to pay. Just like what mom and daddy say. Pay your own way. Amen. That's what my parents said to me. Amen. So Jonah is going down. And ladies and gentlemen, there are people today who are trying to run from God's presence.
Yes, sir.
Amen. They're trying to run from God. They're thinking, if I don't go to church, God don't know who I am. God know where you are. But notice Jonah's distress. And the Lord threw a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. See, disobedience always leads to troubled waters.
Yes, sir.
Notice here, Jonah is headed where? He's headed west. He's headed 2,500 miles out of the way. Nineveh was only 550 miles to the east. He's going towards Spain. And at that time, Tarshish was the farthest place that you could go in their minds. And so Jonah is fleeing to Timbuktu. He's running from God. How many of y'all know when you try to run from God, God has a way of interrupting our plans? Jonah got on the boat to go to Tarshish, but God said, No, Jonah, you think you're going to Tarshish? I'm going to throw a great wind on the sea because you're going to do exactly what I said. God has a way of interrupting our plans. Some of y'all plan on staying in bed this morning, but you're here today because God interrupted those plans. Yeah, you lost an hour of sleep. It reflected in your Sunday school attendance. See, this storm was not a mere coincidence. The Lord caused the storm. So that Jonah would want to do what God said. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, sometimes God calls hell to come up in your life. Because God is trying to lead us a certain way and we want to go another way. God said, no, that ain't going to work. So Jonah now is in great distress, even though he ain't acting like it. Verse 5, then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried out to his God. How many of you know when, no matter whether you know God or not, when you're in trouble, you call on the God you done heard about? Lord, help me. See, these guys worship the fish god. And notice, they cried out. And notice, and they threw their cargo overboard to lighten the ship. These were mariners. The Jews were not mariners. These guys knew the water. This was expensive cargo. But what good is having cargo and lose your life? They tell you, if you work in a store, somebody robbed the store, give them what they want. Don't lose your life over a honey bar. Amen, somebody. And give it up. But notice now. They up there working, lightening the load. But guess where Jonah, God's prophet, is? He's down in the ship. He done laid down, and he's sound asleep. He's impervious. You see, this shows you that Jonah really, see, when you outside of God's will, you are desensitized to what's really going on. Jonah ain't caring about these pagans that's on this ship. He's just caring about getting to where he wants to go. And so a pagan is going to rebuke him. So the captain approached Jonah and said, how is it that you are sleeping? Get up and call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so we won't pray. Our God ain't working. We call on our gods, but our gods ain't working. So you call on your God. Now, it's bad enough to see when saints cause pagans problems. You know Christians ought to be the best workers on the job. Sometimes they might be required to go beyond what they're being paid for. Because that honors God and keep God's name looking good in the eyes of pagan people. But it's bad when Christians create more problems on the job than the pagans do. Here Jonah is. His lifestyle is causing problems for the pagans. But notice Jonah's discovery. Each man said to his mate, come, let us cast lots so that we may learn who brought this calamity upon us. And they cast lots. That's called a roll of the dice. So they rolled the dice, and the lot fell on Jonah. Now watch this now. This did not fall accidentally. Turn to Proverbs 16:33. Proverbs 16. Y'all learning something this morning? The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. Yeah, you may roll the dice, but if it come up, what you rolled it because it came up because God wanted it to come up. You don't win the lottery by luck. All right. Ain't no such thing as luck in God's universe. You ain't lucky. Amen. I know that don't sound right to some of you holy roly folk. But that's the text. God doing a lot of stuff. Amen. And notice here, God was behind Jonah being found out. Here the prophet is being discovered. And then they say to him, hey man, right now, tell us. Where you from? What's your occupation? Uh-oh. What kind of work do you do, Jonah?
I'm a robber.
You're what?
Robber.